This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, bud.
You can sit right there.
I'm going to sit right here.
Pull your chair up to the mic.
Pull my chair up.
All right, so for those of you who don't know who Sean Damage McNellis is, he's a good friend of mine. We've been friends for, I'd say, close to 15 years.
Those of you who don't... Nobody knows who I am. Nobody.
All right, well, Sean is a two-time... UWA Elite Heavyweight Champion.
That's fact.
I'm sure you've done other things in your life besides that, but I know you just walked in, but just to give you an idea of what I'm going for, because I've never done this before.
You haven't.
I understand that you're a wrestler and that I'm a wrestler, and we're gonna talk a little bit about wrestling, but for the most part, I want to talk about life in general, and not. You know, there's a lot of podcasts like, oh, how did you feel doing this match? And how did you feel doing this match?
I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, for most, there are a lot of guys who, when it comes to who I'm friends with through wrestling, who, if I had to talk to them about anything other than wrestling, I'd be like, oh, goodness gracious, how am I going to go about doing this? But me and you, we share a lot of things in common. You know, we could talk about a lot of different things. We've been friends for a long, long time. So I think this might work out the way you see it happening. I just hope I don't revert everything back to wrestling.
Well, listen, that's...
That's what I have a tendency to
do. It's fine, because for the most part, I'm hoping that wrestling fans are the ones that buy into this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't want them to come here thinking that it's going to be another, oh, this is what happened on Raw this week, right, and this is what happened on SmackDown right this week. Seriously, what I want to happen out of this is for people to tune in or listen or whatever you call it nowadays, because they want to hear something different,
right?
They're wrestling fans. They want to hear from wrestlers, but they don't want to hear wrestling all
right
the time.
Right.
So maybe they want to know who I am and who you are, and honestly, what people think about. And to me, the huge thing is the reason why I wanted to do this is because I want it to be more of, like, we're not alone. We all have the same thoughts. Like,
right,
you might be a wrestler,
right,
and I might be a wrestler, but we're human beings, and we think right the same way everyone else does.
Right. We're not all just, you know, it's different now. It's the end of, you know, it's the end of kayfabe, but we're regular old-fashioned people, and we're going to have to express that sooner or later. You know, we can't just always walk around like, I'm tough, I'm mean.
Right, and it's not even that. What I'm more concerned about is that there's a lot of, I wouldn't say glitz and glamour, because I mean, obviously we're independent wrestlers, right? We're not WWE guys. And even if you are a WWE guy, if you're not The Rock, if you're not John Cena, it's not really glitz and glamour.
No.
But people look up to wrestlers, right? And
right,
and I've signed autographs, right?
Right.
Maybe for a few kids who probably won't remember me tomorrow,
right?
But people have this idea that we're always enjoying ourselves and we're always having a good time. Right. And that's not always the case. Like, we have lives. Like,
we live
right
larger than life, so to speak.
Like, I mean, I don't know how deep you want me to get into your personal life.
Oh, we could go way deep. I'm an open book. I don't care.
Right. So you just had a kid.
Right. I just recently had a child, actually. Her name is Kennedy Rose, which actually, this is interesting factuals for you. I found out just the other day that Booker T, I believe, has at the time he filmed whatever program I was watching, a 4-year-old daughter also with the name Kennedy Rose.
So his daughter's been Kennedy Rose longer than
before
your daughter.
My daughter ever
right
was. I had no idea this was the case.
So you're not some closet Booker T
yes
fan? Just,
I mean,
like,
don't get me wrong. I never disliked Booker. I never thought he was, like, a bad wrestler or anything, but I never really, like, fell in love with him, so to speak, he wasn't one of my favorites, you know? But when Booker came out, like, yay, Spinner Rooney, scissors kick. But now I feel kindred with him. Now I feel like we're kindred spirits, because we are both wrestlers. We both like wrestling, And we both have a daughter with the same name. I think that's weird. I think it's a little crazy. And I don't believe in stupid crap like that, but I think it's the most interesting thing I've ever heard of in my own personal life.
Because it's not like an everyday name, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if it was like,
exactly.
If you named your daughter like, I don't know, Jessica Rose, then right. maybe like, oh,
there's a lot of Jessica.
There's a lot
right.
of it.
Kennedy
like Jennifer
Rose,
Lynn or
Kennedy Rose. Come
right,
on.
Right.
Kennedy Rose Huffman. Son of a B.
Wow.
Yeah. I want them to meet. I wanted to write him a letter and send him a picture, but I don't know where to find him. I was going to send it just to Connecticut over there.
All right. So now let me ask you the first question.
Shoot.
Because.
Shoot. I can talk about
it. I honestly started this podcast not only to get people, like other people to listen, but for me to listen and for me to talk to people about their own mentalities.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I'm not only in this for other people to listen.
My friend. He wants to talk to me about friend.
Well, but not only that, but I'm sure there's going to be more people that eventually get on this podcast that I can talk to that it's kind of a roundabout way for me to ask people questions that I've always wanted to know.
Right, right.
That when you're just hanging out in a bar, you're not
just
like, hey, Sean,
like,
how do you feel about life and death? You know what I mean?
This. Right,
all right,
I
so,
get what you're saying.
So listen, so here's my first question to you.
Shoot, hit me.
I'm not talking on a daily basis like, oh, I'm not getting a lot of sleep. I'm talking mentality, emotional, like, wise. What has changed mentality wise in your life since you've had a baby?
What has changed everything? I think
is there obvious changes that you could think
yes,
of?
Absolutely. Truth be told, my physical health is not great right now. It hasn't been for a long time. And that's just simply because I'm more involved in being a dad and less involved in focusing on just me. I don't want to be cliche and say that, things change when you have a kid, but, things
well,
change.
I mean, listen, I think everyone knows that once you have a kid, especially your first kid, that things are going to start to change. But
right.
What I'm talking about is like, just like that emotional side of it. Like,
oh, I mean, a song will come on and I'll cry. A song that I've heard 1,000 different times. It'll come on and I'll cry. I watched the Lego movie literally 1,000 times, and I'll be in the bus or in the train or in the car, and I have it on my phone downloaded, the Everything is Awesome song. And if that song happens to come on when I'm on the train going to my regular day job, I'll start to cry. I'll get upset. Not upset. I'll get overjoyed, actually. It's tears of joy. It's things move you. Things change. You watch a commercial with a dad and a daughter in it, and you're like, oh,
is it, there's also a thing that I've noticed, like, I mean, coming from someone who didn't have a lot of emotional attachments to people
right.
when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
and finding a girlfriend and finding a fiance, like, the same person, but getting into a relationship that's very deep, is there that kind of, the fear of loss, maybe, like, that's what's making you emotional as well? Like, because to me, let's say this, like, if I watch a movie that a guy's girlfriend dies,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
maybe 7 years ago, I would have been,
oh God, I can't let
whatever,
myself. Right.
Whatever.
I
like,
saying.
I don't care. Like go F yourself. You know what I mean? But now I'll watch that movie and I guess it relates more to me that I know what I would feel if I lost someone like that. You know what I mean?
I tell you, it's a scary thing to think about. It's something new to think about. That's for sure. But, you see, this is a tough call because for me, spiritually, so to speak, I'm going through a lot of different things.
Hmm.
Religiously, spiritually, however you want to put it. And I have to know in my head that she's going to be okay. I can't. I'm going to worry, obviously.
Well, you're talking spiritual. You said, is that like,
well, because
you mean like an afterlife kind of?
My mother would say, because when I was a young kid, I was a rough and tumble sort of young teenager. And my mom was a worrywart growing up. And then she, I guess, sorry, Ma, I'm blowing you up on podcasts here. She found Jesus and she started giving her worry away to Jesus, as she would put it, or to God. And I struggle with that aspect of life right now. And that's something we'll probably get into later.
Hold on, can you evaluate, you're struggling on what?
On the idea of God, of there being
religion in general.
Yes,
okay.
Religion, God, all of that. Yes.
Well, I think there's definitely a difference between religion and spirituality.
Right, absolutely. And I'm probably going to offend somebody, I'm sure, but I could care less for religion. I think religion is dumb. However, spirituality, I struggle with that as well because I tend to fall to the side of facts, you know, and science and not spirituality and not jinxes and circumstances, stuff like that. Like, for me, it's just, I have to know in my head that when my daughter wakes up, she's going to be okay. She's going to be perfectly healthy, you know? I have to know that. I have to believe that that's going to be the case. She just went for her most recent checkup, and she's perfectly average in almost every way. She's a little above average weight-wise, which I think is a good thing. She's only 9 months. She should be above average weight-wise. She's a little short, which, again, I think is a good thing, because nobody wants, you know, a super tall girl, and gosh, that's probably offensive to somebody too. But either way, her head size is perfect, which is good coming from me because I have such a bulbous, ridiculous sized head. But, you know, if you think about worrying and if you think about all the bad things that can happen, you will have panic attacks every day of your life. You will be overwhelmed. You won't know what to do. So for me, I have to just accept the fact that I can only control what I can control, and that which I cannot control, I have to let go of.
Isn't that the serenity prayer?
Yeah, I guess.
The control,
to an extent,
the
yes.
Power to see the things that you can control,
I
actually feel like that's like an addict's anthem.
Right. Have the power to
and know the difference between what you can control and what you can't.
Something like that. I know that for a fact.
I think it is the serenity prayer.
Right.
I think that's what it's called.
And I mean, that's basically how you have to do it. I mean, if you're worried all the time, how's that going to affect your kid, you know, when they're 6, 7, or 8, or even worse, when they're 13, 14, or 15? I want my kid to understand that life is something they should grab by the horns, you know, and do it and live it up and not live in fear and not live in... And if I'm worried all the time, what are they going to know other than... What is Kennedy going to know other than worry and fear? And I don't want her to ever know that. I mean, she's going to have to figure it out in her own life, obviously, but for as much as I can control it, I want her to experience life as if I am just guidance. I am merely there to hold the door for her.
It's funny because you say that now as she's 9 months old. You
right.
Know what I
mean? I'm sure things will change.
When she starts bringing home boys and she's 15, mm-hmm. 16 years old, mm-hmm. you might not want to be just the guidance guy.
You know, once again, though, you know, I have to cut a little slack there, too, because I was once brought home as the teenage boyfriend or the young adult boyfriend, and I'm certainly not the stereotypical, you know, perfect guy, like, you know, with a buzz cut and clean shaven with a polo on and nice boat shoes or something. I'm not that guy. I've never been that guy. So a mother, and a wonderful mother, Debbie, hi, Deb, I love you, had to accept me for who I was. So I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to accept some boy for who he is and not judge him right off the bat based on how he looks or, you know, there's a certain level of respect that he has to have for his elders as well as other things, but I'm not going to judge him based on what he looks like or when he thinks he's privately with my daughter. He might say things that he wouldn't say when I'm around, and maybe I might listen in, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm a young father. I'm a brand new father. So these feelings might change over time. I might listen to this in 10 years and be like, what was that idiot talking about?
Well, I think that's one of the main things about being a parent in general is that it's always changing. There's always social rules that are changing. There's always a lot of different things that are changing. But if you wouldn't mind me changing tracks a little bit. You talked about you struggling with your spirituality, right? And religion in general.
Right.
And there's a quote that I have here that I wrote down for a specific case that is just like this. There's this guy, right? And I follow him on Twitter. His name's John Gordon. He's wrote in books. It's all positivity books. And they're not bad. Like,
right.
For the most part, for me, books on positivity, I've always kind of been like, you know, like,
right.
But honestly, I read his first book and it was really good. It kind of changed a little bit of the way I was seeing things.
Right.
And like anything, you don't want to read all of it and take it as the Holy Bible, even right. the Bible, but
right.
you take it what works for you, and the rest of it you throw in the trash.
Right.
Right? So anyway, so he said this, how you see the world determines the world you see, right? So now, when you were just talking about spirituality and religion and all that stuff, do you think that's why people see things the way they see them? It's because they choose to. How you see the world determines the world that you see. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going, when I read this quote, I go back to the people that say, like, look for the signs, they're out there, right? And you drive by, like, let's just say I'm thinking about getting a divorce, and you drive by a billboard and it's a couple with their hands held, right? And you're like, oh, well, maybe I should stay together because there's a sign that's telling me. Like, do you Do you believe in people creating the world that they want to see in their head?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, once again, I'm going to do this a few times, but you can relate that back to the wrestling world, because there's tons of guys who create their own, they see their own, and those are the guys you see falling at the wayside eventually, because they only see their way. They're not willing to change their perspective, their mind, their ideas. And you see it in all sports, in all sort of trades. Some guys think they figure something out and they've got it right, and they refuse to hear ideas or other options or other opinions. And I'm of the belief that you're constantly learning, you know, that life is always going to be there's always a teaching point in life. You know what I'm saying? And I think in certain instances, people need that type of stuff. They need to be able to be delusional, I guess you would say, not live in the real world necessarily. See things through rose-colored glasses. That's a phrase I use all the time. I think in times it can be hard not to. Like, I mean, right now I'm about to be moving. You know, I have a young daughter. I'm moved in with my girlfriend. A lot of things have happened really fast over the last couple of months, and it's exciting and scary all at the same time. But I know that I have to see it for what it is.
Now, I don't want to ask you what is in your bank account right now.
Oh, God,
but financially, I mean, how scary is it?
Oh my gosh, it's horrifying.
Like, and listen, I'm a guy who thinks way too much about things that future, past. Like, I'm always living in the future and the past, and one thing that I've honestly been trying to focus on a lot is living in the now. And I think that having a baby and being able to hold it is a lot more precious of a moment than thinking, oh my God, in 2 weeks I might not have enough money to support this person.
Right.
Like, obviously you're making choices for the future because you have a newborn baby.
Right.
But how often can you escape from, oh my God, I don't have a lot of money. Oh my God, we're living with my girlfriend's mother. Or, oh my God, you know, it's a very big possibility. Or even, like, how many times do you struggle with the fact that, you know, your father wasn't around that much? And how often, I'm not trying to break you down.
No, you're
like,
right.
I'm just saying, how often can you escape the thoughts that, like, that for you to just sit in the moment and be like, I'm holding my daughter that I created, instead of, oh my God, I have to pay a bill, and oh my God, what am I going to make of my life? Like, how is there a moment where you can sit down and be like, I don't care about anything else right now except for the fact that I'm sitting in the room with my daughter?
Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with anybody who's listening?
I know you're going to say like hundreds of people or thousands, but
all the time.
There's no one listening.
I'm able. that's true. Hi, nobody. I'm able to do that a lot, probably to a fault. Probably to a big fault. I'm lucky enough to be blessed by the fact that I have a wonderful lady in my life who is incredibly good at managing finances and bills and stuff like that.
And that's your girlfriend?
My darling girlfriend, the mother of my child, Julia. I love her very much. She's allowed me to come out tonight and hang with you.
For a long time, because this is didn't go as quickly and smoothly as I wanted to.
But she is. I knew when I had a quick little tidbit about me. I'm one of eight. I'm the third of eight. There's eight brothers and sisters in my family. So I watched childbirth and toddler. I mean, infant to toddler to young child. I watched that four different times when I'm able to remember. My younger brother Josh was born in 94, my younger sister Sarah in 96, Madison 98 or 99, sorry Maddie, and 2003 for my brother Gabe. So I watched it happen a lot over the course of my life, and I realized that you only get those moments for such a short time, because I mean, I think about it now, my daughter is 9 months, and it seems like just yesterday we were bringing home from the hospital, and she's so much bigger. She's 2'3" now. She's 2'3". When we brought her home from the hospital, she was 18 inches. So it's you see it happen, and I'm able to live in that moment a lot because I have the ability to do it. You know, some people are, you know, everything's going a mile a minute. Oh, I got to do this. I got to worry about this. And they miss that, you know, and that's something I'd give advice to any father or any mother or any expecting parent out there. Live in that moment. Enjoy that. Sit her on your lap or sit him on your lap, whoever, and look them in the face and see what they're doing and watch them do things. And don't bury your nose in a phone all the time.
Well, I think you could take that advice for anything. It's not just being a parent. I think that anybody should be looking to live in the moment. Like,
I think a fair amount of people try to, you know, skate, try to find the easiest way out of things. And I think that's one of the big problems that we have in the world today is that nobody wants to be held accountable anymore.
All right, so I'm a big quote guy.
Quotes.
All right, so and right now we're talking about, like, the now, right, and not
in the moment.
Right, so living in the moment. So this is a Walt Whitman quote. Happiness, not in another place, but this place. Not for another hour, but this hour. You know what I mean? I think what he's trying to say and what a lot of the forward-thinking people of any generation is that the main point behind life is to stop worrying about what's going to happen. Stop worrying about what did happen and think about these moments that you're living in right now. And I'm going to tell you, the reason why I started this podcast, the one that I'm doing right now, is because I listened to a comedian's podcast. His name is Pete Holmes. He had a show on NBC.
After
Conan. Right. And all he talks about all the time with all these guests, all these comedians, all these people that come in is the right now. So this is the way he explains it, right? He's always talking about people. This is the example he gives is on an airplane, right? So you're on an airplane. What are you thinking? You're thinking, I can't wait to land. I can't wait to get off the plane. I can't wait to get my luggage. I can't wait to get in the car. I can't wait to drive home. I can't wait to be home. I can't wait to get my own bed. I can't wait to take a shower. I can't wait to do all these things. When do you stop I can't waiting and say, okay, I'm here. I'm in this moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why can't you sit on that plane and say, oh, well, I'm enjoying the fact that there's someone sitting next to me that I can talk to? Or why can't you enjoy the moment and be like, I'm flying in the air?
That's pretty good.
You know what I mean? Like, you're looking out and you're 30, 20, whatever, 1,000 feet above the air. And, well, for me personally, I don't fly. So I can't find the joy in that.
I've never flown.
You've never flown?
I've never flown.
I have flown. I think I was like 13 or 14. I took a Boy Scout trip to Wyoming.
Oh, boy. Which,
Old Faithful.
There's a Domino's pizza over there. Look at that.
We actually went to Cody, Wyoming. We saw a rodeo, which was pretty sweet.
Rodeos.
Yeah.
Rodeos are terrible.
It smelled, but it was fun.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I'd imagine it'd be interesting.
Either way, so that was the only time. And as an adult, I mean, now I'm 31. I'll be 32 in August, right? So that's 15, 16 years ago. I don't really remember it. But anyway, so 4 or 5 years ago, we went to Aruba, and I legit had, and I wouldn't even call it a panic attack, because a panic attack would be like hyperventilating and all that stuff. Like, right. I just literally lost my cool and started sobbing.
You didn't
like,
say mom or anything, did you?
No, my mom wasn't there. She, oh, bomb, you mean?
Nah,
I thought you said
mom.
No, I didn't say bomb. However, this is a true story.
True stories.
My fiance looked at me right before we took off and started singing La Bamba. And I say, and look at me. And I say, and she knows how afraid I am, right? So I look at her and
does she correlate La Bamba?
No. No idea. So I look at her and I say this. I say, what? Why are you singing that song? You know what she says to me?
I like that song.
No. Right. It just popped in my head.
Oh my gosh. All right,
so
get off the plane,
yeah,
bro.
So I'm Devon Sawa, Final Destination in my head right now,
right,
thinking,
right,
this is my message. Get off the plane.
Right.
Right? So I say to her, I say, do you know that Richie Valens, the guy who sang that song, died in a plane crash? You know what she says to me? No. I just watched Grease last night. So it was stuck in my head. So someone deathly afraid of flying is now sitting next to the person they love, looking in their eyes and singing a song. Sang by a guy who died in a plane crash. And wouldn't fate have it that as soon as she started singing that song and the engines fired up and we were ready to go.
Oh boy.
And people wonder why I had a panic attack on a plane. Listen, and this goes with the, do you believe in spirituality? Do you believe in things like that? I'm thinking, I'm not coming back.
Right.
This is it. We're
going down.
We're going in the air.
Wow.
If we get up there.
Wow. That is,
and we're going
that's
down.
That's something else that she would sing of all songs. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
You imagine if she would have switched to like a Buddy Holly song or something?
Or
like
a Big
Aaliyah
Bopper
song,
or TLC.
Or John Denver. Did John Denver?
Yes, car crash.
TLC car crash.
Yeah, house car crash.
And John Denver, I think, died in a plane crash. Sweet Home Alabama. Where the skies are so blue, but
that's the, you know what I mean? Like, that's That's the kind of stuff that make me think that there is something weird going on with the world. Like, that's some kind of cosmic joke. Like, hey, I know you're scared of planes. Let me pop this song in your fiance's head to make you feel a little even more uncomfortable.
Right. It does seem like things happen like that a lot. And, I mean, I don't have a way of rationalizing it or explaining it properly. I mean, I've had things I can't think of as good of a example as you just did. But I'm sure I've had moments in my life where I was like, this isn't right, or deja vu and stuff like that, glitches right. in the matrix. Like, I admit, I'm not a very superstitious person in life, but in sports, holy cow, am I superstitious. If we're watching a ball game, I'm like, okay, you have to sit there, I have to sit here, because this is where I sit. When I sit here, they're 7-2. When I sit over there, I'm 3-11. You know, that's the type of weird-ass guy I am when it comes to some... But, I mean, I'm trying to get away from that, because I'm trying to disprove it. I'm trying to say, no, you know, no. I'm tired of allowing superstition to run my life as well as everybody else's. It seems a little ridiculous to me. Like, there's facts behind everything. Things can be explained. Like, I'm a skeptical person, but when I have an answer that I'm satisfied with through evidence, I stop being skeptical about it, you know? And right. I think people just like to be skeptical at times, and I also think people like to be naive at times. You know, I think certain questions that some people find tasteless wouldn't be so, like the God question, like, is there a God? Like, some people would be like, of course there's a God, and it's like, well, why is it so easy for you to answer that so quick?
Well, I think just like anything in life, it's all relative to what you grew up with, right? So, like,
right. I'm sure I sound arrogant to a few people.
No.
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to say that I don't believe in God either. I'm trying to say that it's a very confusing question.
Right.
I think it's layered.
Listen,
it's not just a yes or no answer.
I think the true measure of a man, and it's changed since the 40s, the 30s, the 50s, whatever. To me, this is how I think the true measure of a man is a guy who struggles with things. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not, you don't believe in definites, right?
Right.
Because anyone who believes in definites to me is someone who's obviously fighting some insecurities. Like, this is definitely the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like that is a true measure of brilliance or smarts. I think, to me, the true brilliance of it is being able to struggle with decisions and not knowing if you're right or wrong, because you're always knowing that there's another option.
Right.
You always know that there's another possibility.
Right. I beat myself up about that all the time. Like, I like to think my decision and the way I choose to attack something or to go about it, I always second guess myself. I always wonder if the decision I made was correct or right or anything.
Got a text
message from the girlfriend.
Are you coming home soon?
Yeah, something like that. I'm gonna say.
Was it meaner than that?
No, she just actually it was very nice. She said, and I'll quote it verbatim. She said, "What's the scoop, poop?
The scoop, poop." Then she really said, "Can I see it? What's the scoop, poop?"
I say that to her.
That's really funny.
Recording live. Anyway, I mean, but all that stuff is tough to answer, tough to respond to, tough to talk about for a lot of people, for a lot of focal. And for me, it's kind of easy. But I mean, I always feel like I come off like a jerk off because I always feel myself falling onto the side of God probably doesn't exist, and I don't think
now,
that's the
listen. Are you
opinion.
Saying are you saying God doesn't exist in the idea that there's a guy with a beard up there and he's like controlling everything, or do you feel like you're saying God in general, like there's nothing going on except for the fact that we were soup and then we molded, now we're humans.
Once again,
for some reason, we are the only species on Earth that can communicate the way we do.
Right.
We're the only species on Earth that can build things the way we do, that have jobs and have extracurricular things. Like, you don't see ants picking up a suitcase going to work. Like, we're the only creatures that we even know of. I mean, listen, the idea that we're the only things in the entire universe might be a little out of hand, but I'm saying if you look at what we know, we are the only creatures that do the things that we do.
It's weird.
Like, how... That's the thing that gets me.
And I tell you, once again, I want to stress the fact that I do not necessarily don't believe... I'm not trying to say that I'm a full-blown atheist, which, to be honest with you, isn't such a bad thing to be, in my opinion. I don't judge people based off of that. That being said, though, is... For me, it's... Is there like a full-on creator that exists somewhere deep in the stars who's created all the life that exists in all of the galaxies and all of the solar systems and all of the universe? Maybe. That's the best answer I can give you. That's the answer. That's the answer everybody should say when they're asked, is there a God? The correct answer is maybe.
Is that a cop-out?
I don't think it's a cop-out, no. Because how can you definitively say there is one, but at the same time, how can you definitively say there isn't one?
So
it's tough. All right. That's why the answer is maybe.
This is going to sound ridiculous.
Okay, I like ridiculous.
Crossing over with John Edwards.
Oh, gosh, what a douche.
Right, so are you saying...
Douche can
do you think that there are people...
That talk to dead people?
No. Let's just say this. Do you think... And I've heard different stories about, like, people use... we can only use 10% of our brains, and then people are actually like, no, we actually do use 100% of our brain.
Yeah,
we just use it in different areas.
Right.
Right, so, like, different areas are used for different things. But what I'm saying are, do you think that there are people... Mm-hmm. on this earth that just know or have this weird connection to something is not something the rest of us connect to?
I have met godly men and godly women. People I believe to have been of divine nature. You know what I'm saying? I think we all have. We've met those people in our lives. They could have been somebody you met for just 5 minutes, somebody you heard talk for an hour. For me, it was a man, Father O'Connor. He was the head parish, I don't know the terms. He was the head of a church in my town.
The pastor.
And he would give mass, and during mass there's like, I guess, this 5 to 10 minute part where they speak their own words as opposed to reading a Bible or singing the weird singing song that Dane Cook
makes
fun of.
So it's the homily.
Yes.
Right. And, so, because in the gospel he reads, and then
right,
the homily tells you.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
I think that's right. It might be the other way
around. It sounds right. Homily sounds
one of them
right.
are one. And,
one of those is correct.
Yes. And the other one is not correct.
I heard him speak, and he's the way he spoke and the way he carried himself and the way he just was, his aura, his whole thing. There was something divine about him. And I've met a few people like that. And maybe that's just because they're well-read, well-thought-out, intelligent, wonderful people with great charm and charisma. Or maybe they are just divine people. That's my problem. My problem is I can't speak in definites without clear-cut evidence. And the problem is that a lot of people like to use this as an argument for God not existing. But at the same time, you can't disprove the idea of God. You can't. You can't say, no, there's clearly no God that exists, because how can you know that? How can you?
I think the only thing that gets me...
It's tough.
It's so weird to me that, like, the things that are supposed to be the most... And I'm not saying joyful in the way, like, having a family. I'm saying, like, excitement. Why are they all bad for you? Like, sugar is amazing.
Right.
Why is it bad for you? Salt is amazing.
Right? And it's terrible.
Why is it bad for
Why
you?
Why can't we eat bacon cheeseburgers every day, all the time?
That's what I'm saying. The things that we crave,
but
the things
everything
that,
is bad for you.
But like our bodies are built to crave the things
that
are not good. No, that are not good for us.
That are not good for us. Right.
Like, how many people live and just do things on a daily basis?
I do.
That
I do
that is terrible for them.
This is not something I... First of all, the whole God thing, I've never really talked about with anybody before.
Good.
You know, and also, now, I'm going to talk about something else.
There are tens of people that have heard you talk
Sean
about
Sean Demetric Mellis has never talked about this before, and he tries to hide it a lot, especially at wrestling shows. I smoke. I am a cigarette smoker. I smoke a little less than a pack a day, and I've been a smoker for 13 years. And my character as a wrestler... is I hate saying that. I'm like Sean on that.
Okay.
Sorry. I hate saying my character because I think that's such a
My character wouldn't do that. Well, that's what Brian Brass. That's what he's known for.
No, he says I wouldn't do that. That's the difference. Brass says I wouldn't do it. Come on. What do you do? The Bulls are awesome. But
is he a Bulls fan?
He's a Bulls fan. But damn, now all I can think about is Brass laughing.
I know.
What were we talking about? Seriously? Oh, yeah, smoking cigarettes.
Right, the fact that not many people outside of your group of friends right. know.
I try to hide it from fans. I do everything I can to hide it from fans when they're walking. I don't want them to see me smoke because, to me, they would identify. I feel like, you know, one of my big... A guy who's a hero of mine is the Golden Bear. Do you know who the Golden Bear is?
Jack Nicholas.
I
have his autograph.
Yeah, I believe it. And Jack... tells a story about how he was on the 18th green and he had this long putt and he nipped it and it was like a 6-inch putt to tap in, you know. And he walks over, cigarette in his mouth, because when you're playing golf, you can smoke all you want. And he puts it in. And he realizes that he was on TV and that a whole bunch of people saw him smoking on TV. And he was like, what kind of example am I setting for kids? So from that day forth, you never saw Jack smoke again on television. As long as he was golfing, he didn't smoke. And I don't know if that led him to quit smoking or not. It might have. But for me, I feel it was a decision I made when I was a young, stupid, goofy kid. And I struggle with it. I struggle quitting.
But
you know?
Do you?
And you quit. I mean, I'm going to blow your spot up right now.
It's been 7 years.
He quit 7 years ago. And it was hard for him. And I mean, it's hard for anybody. I'm almost considering hypnotism. And I don't believe in that type of stuff.
Yeah, look at
you.
Because
I'm in that business. That's the thing. People,
you're in that business?
I'm in the same business. We're all in this. We're in the con business. That's what we do. That's what mediums do. That's what soothsayers do. We're all in the same business. We're con men. Deep down inside. Wrestling, not so much anymore, because wrestling has changed. But the original... The nuts and bolts of wrestling...
We're carny folk.
We were con men. We were like, hey... You're a handsome dude. I'm a handsome dude, Matt. Arcadia. I don't know what to call you. Let's fight, but pretend, and these people will pay money. We were con men. So are them. So are hypnotists, soothsayers, magicians. They're all con men. There's no magic to anything. It's all a con.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mediums? Like the Long Island Medium Show?
But that's what I was asking. Cons. Well, listen, and let's not take TV for what's right and what's wrong. Like, let's say just... By chance, these mediums that are on TV are bullshit because they are.
Which they are.
Right. But like that's like saying every Italian is like a guy from Jersey Shore because they're on TV. But you know what I mean? Like, let's not take what's on TV as the end-all, be-all of what is possibly out there.
I'm sure there are very good mediums that exist who could cold read me like a zombie and really get a good thing out.
So you think they're just good at reading people?
They're still cons. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, because I think it's
hard. It's kind of like old school comedians. Like they didn't go out there with a set list and like have jokes to tell. They would go out there and read the crowd and make fun of them.
Right. And I'm not saying that it's wrong or that it's bad. It's just, to me, it's a con. And if there are some people who like to be conned, and there are some people who need to be conned, you know, in that sort of way, not in like a monetary money sort of way, but in like a emotional sort of way. That's definitely a part of life. The closest people to us emotionally con us all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to, they don't mean to, but sometimes they do. You know, sometimes you tell that lie to boost somebody's confidence, even though it's totally a lie. Yeah, man, you look like you lost some weight. You're looking good there, but no, you haven't. I'm just trying to make you feel better. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, to me, I don't believe it. And you know what? I like to think I'm the type of guy who can be proven wrong. You know, I like to think I'm the type of guy who, once he's shown something and it's different than what I believe or what I think to be true, I'll be like, oh, holy shit.
Well, I mean, I think that goes back to what we were talking about before with like the idea that not everything we believe in is a definite belief.
Right.
Like the ability to know that you could be fucking 100% wrong, you know, about anything.
Right.
About anything.
It's a scary thought.
Which, I mean, I think I've struggled with that my entire life. Is, I think maybe, and this goes to something that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, but not, I mean, it didn't have to be with you. It's just something that I've written down that I wanted to bring up some point, was that, like, who you are as a child and what you're around kind of molds you into who you are, right? So me as a child, I was constantly told that I was wrong and I was like not smart or stuff like that. Like I never really had anyone around giving me those, I don't know if they were false compliments or just compliments in general, about, hey man, like you're doing awesome. Like I never really got that. So maybe I get defensive sometimes when I do say what I believe and people are like, well, I kind of don't believe in that. And I'm like,
well, you're also passionate of what you believe in.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying is that I've gotten to the point as I'm getting older now that I'm starting to realize there is no definite truth. And the idea of truth, whether it be like a true statement or anything, is all relative to anything.
Yeah.
Like, and here's another thing that I actually heard on a different podcast I was listening to is what makes the truth that amazing? Like, why is the literal truth amazing? Like, if you can go home at night and believe something that is you thinking it's true, what makes it wrong if that's not 100% what is literally true?
I think most people live their lives like that.
Well, yeah. There's people that know what the truth is and they are denying it. I'm saying if you 100% believe that something is true, who is to say to you that it's not true? Because as we're discussing this whole time, like, everything is different, right? Everyone's lives are a product of what they see, right? It's not always, you know, what you see and what I see are the same thing. And right. Our
nature
vision,
versus nurture, right, type of...
No, I'm saying what we vision together, what we see, is not the same thing.
No.
My truth and your truth are completely different.
Yes.
So if I'm believing something as my 100% truth and you believe something that is your 100% truth and they're two different things, then who's to say we can't agree to just be like, all right, man, you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe.
I mean, I'm of that ilk, so to speak. I'm of the, you can believe whatever you want to believe, I'll believe whatever I want to believe. But the problem with me is I don't believe anything to be 100% true. You know, I don't have any dead set beliefs. You know, I guess.
You're 100% a handsome man.
I am very, you know, I used to be handsomer.
That is a 100% fact.
But truthfully, like, I don't believe anything's to be fully true. I don't believe that God exists. I don't fully believe God doesn't exist. I don't fully believe that my girlfriend is in love with me because I feel like if I get to that point where I believe it, that's when she goes. That's when she's like, I'm out.
Oh no.
You know?
Have we just stumbled upon abandonment issues?
No, truth be told, she loves me to death. I love her to death. Actually, I think that's the one truth I have, I guess.
And you're not alone though, but
that,
like,
is the one truth
it doesn't,
I have.
It doesn't matter how comfortable or assured you are,
right,
in a moment. Like, there's always something in the back of everyone's,
right,
head being,
oh,
like,
God,
dude, this can end right
what if
now.
She realizes I'm a complete jerk. Like, what it do? How come she hasn't figured that out yet? But no, actually, that's the only complete truth I have in my life now, is my girlfriend and my daughter.
Hmm.
And I don't have to worry about anybody telling me anything about them, because I know that. I live there. You know, that's where I'm at all the time. And for me, that's all I need. Like,
well, your daughter loves you because you give her food.
Well, I give her food.
Change her diaper.
I change her diaper. Holy cow. I tell you what.
She loves you after you change her diaper.
We took her for shots yesterday, and boy.
Did she hate your guts?
She hated my guts. Well, you see, the thing is, we didn't really distract her, and it was a big shot. And usually days, it's not the day of the shot that's bad, it's the day after the shot.
Really?
That's really bad. For Kennedy.
Well, listen, I don't have kids, so.
Every kid's, I guess, different, but for Kenny, it's the day after. For example, she didn't fall asleep until 9:45. So that's unusual. She usually goes to sleep at 7. But, you know, she's my absolute. And I love her to death. And she's changed my life. And those are the only things that I have. Those are the things that I know. And I tell you, once you have a kid, man, your whole entire... I mean, I've always been a wandering, mind-having sort of mofo to begin with.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't always believe what I'm told, you know. I like to figure things out for myself. And even when I figured, like, for example, like, politically and all that other stuff, like, I have very different views. I have views that some people would consider to be ultra-liberal, and then I have some views where I'm a little more conservative, and I'm less inclined to be liberal. And I think that's just how I live my life. It's just, I search for what I think would be the best option, or what I think is the best opinion, the best idea, the best whatever thing we're talking about. And that's where I stake my claim, you know, on what I think is the best for not just me, but for everybody as well. You know, I'm borderline socialist, probably. But I don't know. I believe in a sense of community. I believe in a sense of togetherness. I think we're all in this together. And I think it's tough, you know. I think it's double tough. Yeah. Tougher than a $2 steak, as JR would say, because this is a wrestling podcast.
All right, let me ask you this question.
Why am I bare feet? Because I like bare feet.
No, listen, Snooker liked bare feet.
Yes, he did. You know, he stole my lighter. No, he didn't steal my lighter. He found my lighter. That was cool.
He found your lighter, what,
Snooker,
in his pocket?
Snooker, I was at a show, the CTW show. You were there.
Yeah.
I might have been with you. I don't know. But
Change the World Wrestling?
Change the World.
I plan on wrestling. Having... I plan on having Colin West.
You
on the
should.
Podcast.
Colin,
he's
Colin's
hilarious.
A schmoozer. He can do this.
He's a hilarious. I feel like it would probably be the funniest episode do.
Colin's great. Colin is a hysterical guy. But I left my lighter. I was wearing my shorts, and I left my lighter in my shorts, and it fell out of my shorts. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, "Give me my lighter. I know you have it." I forget who I said that to, but I don't want to blow them up. I don't want to blow them up because
what as you don't know
might,
who doesn't
might,
want to be
he
known.
He might not want to be known for smoking. But then I come outside, and I'm like, excuse me, did anybody find the lighter? And Snooker's like, oh, I did, because I described it. It was pink with roses on it. I bought it for the girlfriend. She didn't like it. You're not going to give up a lighter, you know? And right. And real quick, though, sorry, just to get off. Snooker takes like 5 minutes digging through his fanny pack trying to find it. And it was the coolest thing. Snooker is the coolest guy I ever met. Honestly, I know. He is a cool guy, dude. He just happened to roll up and he was like, hey, what's up?
He's a weirdo.
He is a bit weird. I think that's a part of it. That's a part of the industry.
And listen, though. I'm not the guy that, like... obviously I respect the guys that came before me, but I'm not willing to respect them enough to not just call them out being completely and utterly a weirdos.
I think there are certain... You have to be a certain type of weird to be in the business.
Gotcha.
In the wrestling world, you know? You're a little weird. I'm definitely weird. You're a weird guy.
No way.
Think of that.
I'm probably the most...
not weird?
You're not
that weird. You're really not. That's the thing.
No, I'm weird, but I don't... And listen, I was a lot weirder when I was a kid, but I was more alone when I was a kid, so I had to be weird. I felt like I was weird on my own.
He was a street tough. Young street
no,
tough.
I was not tough at all. I'm still not tough. I've never been in a fight in my... Well, not...
He's tough.
I've been in a fight, but not like a... I've never started a fight where I've been where I, well you were there for that but I'm saying I've never been like, yo, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Right, you've been more of a peaceful guy, but maybe not peaceful.
But it's not even peaceful
outwardly, but inwardly you were probably raging like
me. Right, well, but it's not even peaceful as it is like I was scared,
right.
Like I've
or
always
worried.
Been scared,
right.
Yeah, I've always been scared of fights, and I don't know what it is, and I mean I don't know if it's
fear.
No. Well, duh. It's fear. When you say I'm scared, I'm trying. Well, listen. This is the question. It's weird that we got here because this is the question I was going to ask you. Is if it wasn't for fear, wasn't. Hold on.
Fear didn't exist. I'd be the greatest wrestler ever.
If it wasn't for fear, what would you do? That it holds you back right now. Like, is there anything? Lifestyle-wise, or is there anything goal-wise that some sort of fear holds you back from doing? Like, to me, I feel like there was a point in my wrestling career, I'd say 2005, 2006, I'm pretty good friends with Azrael, right? He got invited to go to Japan and wrestle, wow. and I also had a chance to go to the United Kingdom to wrestle, and...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and...
That's pretty dope.
Both of those things, I kind of were like, yeah, well, I don't like to fly.
Right. And not only that, but you're going to a whole different place.
Right. Well, I'm not scared of that. Like, if I could teleport to Japan, I would be there in a second. But, like, the fact that, like, I've never been to the top of the Empire State Building because I've been to the lobby plenty of times. And I've gotten there, and me and my fiance have gone to the lobby of the Empire State Building, and I said, not today.
Are you afraid of heights? Is that it?
I
can't be afraid of heights. You jump higher than anybody.
Well, but those are controlled heights. That's not like
sort of.
Thousands of feet in the air.
You do a drop kick, you do it beautifully. I do a drop kick, I almost break my leg every single time. But for me,
So go ahead. So mine is, I feel like travel-wise, I could have done a lot more things in my wrestling career. I could do a lot more in my life if I wasn't...
Fear held me back for a long, long time. You know, like... I could talk about a few guys. Two guys, for example, that I can think of right off the top of my head, who I don't really know that well, who I've never really hung out with, but I think are okay guys. Too Hot Steve Scott and Joey Janela.
Those two guys did something that I was unwilling to do, and that was stick with the training, with the business. You know, like, I was lucky enough to fall into the UWA with a bunch of guys who were well-trained individuals who knew what they were doing, and they essentially trained me into the guy I am today. Now, I think I'm still paying dues. I will always pay dues. I love paying dues, but I have paid my fair share of dues. But compared to those two guys, I'm sure they went through the ringer, because I remember my third day of training, I got my ass whooped by some punk guy whose mugshot's all over the internet. But he whooped my ass, and that changed my thought. I thought wrestling was fake, you know, and it is fake. But I mean, I thought it was. Why was this guy hitting me so hard? Why did he hit me so hard in the face? It really screwed me up. Like, he beat me up. He straight up beat me up for no reason other than just to beat me up. And I know for a fact that that probably happened to those guys. Probably, maybe a lot, maybe not. I don't know.
Steve Scott was trained by Jay Lethal.
Oh, well,
and I don't know. Yeah, Jay's kind of the nicest.
Jay is a really nice guy.
Well, let's.
But I mean, even still,
let's pump the brakes on the nice guy, because he's not really that nice. I've heard him say some mean things before, but I'm just saying in general. I would say as a trainer, he's not the type of person to take advantage of.
He's not a doghouse type guy.
He's not a take advantage kind of guy. Right. Like, he's not like, I'm going to prove a point by beating you. He's not that kind of guy. Well, right. I mean, he might be, but I personally have never seen that side of him.
Right. I mean, I don't know much about those dudes. I've talked to them a few times, nice guys, you know, but I know that they probably went through the ringer to get us. Far as they did in this
So are
bit.
You saying that the fear of
getting beat up?
Well, not even getting beat up, but like having to go through.
I mean, I was a littler guy back then. That was 11 years ago, so
the strenuous kind of like, I'm gonna have to bump 50,000 times every day.
Right. And to be honest with you, I was not ready. You know, I was 17 and I was a young 17.
What's holding you back now from trying to get bookings other places than just the UWA Elite?
Do you have
like some sort of insecurity about like you've only been UWA Elite guy? And
No, actually I have no more.
But I'm just saying, do you think you can hang with guys like
I do.
JAP, Ring of Honor type guys?
JAP, Ring of Honor.
I'm a JAP guy,
I mean,
right?
To an extent, yeah, I think I do have what it takes to hang with those guys. Absolutely, I know I can. Getting beat up doesn't bother me anymore, Jack. I'll tell you what, right now I've been beat up plenty. It's fine now. You can hit me as hard as when Steve Mack smacks you upside one time, you know, yeah. and you see purple in the side of your head,
right? But
should
we have to deal with that though? You know what I mean? Like, and Steve Mack is one of my best friends in the
nice
entire
guy.
World, but I can't wait to get him on this podcast so I can ask him those questions. Like,
right.
Why is it such a necessity to prove that?
To a weird extent, I think it is sort of necessary at times. I do. I mean, I'm not. It's tough because I don't believe in the old school way of wrestling. I'm all about positivity, and I feel like wrestling, it breeds negativity. You know, it breeds negativity.
Well, anything where you're judged on your talent
right.
is going to breed negativity. Because there's always going to be a jealous guy.
Right. There's always going to be a guy, and not even just a jealous guy, there's always going to be a guy who wants that spot. You know?
Right. Well, that's,
if you're in the top spot.
Isn't that jealousy?
That is jealousy. Yeah. Right. Good point. You see, this is, now I'm jealous of your ability to define words, but. I mean,
precocious.
For me, I think it stifles the bad guys. Sorry to clap like that, but the getting after guys. The strong style guys. Yeah, the strong style guys. They check these up and coming guys who think they're all the best in the world, and then boom, they get one, and they realize, oh, this is for real. It's not even.
I mean,
it's
listen,
a lesson, you know?
I can see.
I can think of one guy in particular who I watched pummel a dude, and then 15 minutes later in the locker room, put his arm around his shoulder and talk to him and tell him why I pummeled you. This is why I did what I did. Here's why. Because, to be honest with you, that to me is the difference. If you're just in there to beat a guy up, get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
After you beat the guy up, if you pull him aside and you say, here's why I beat you up. Because you blew
this, you didn't know what to do here. Isn't that kind of a... Well, it's a bully-like mentality of... I mean, listen, like, everyone knows that you have a bully, then you try to fight him, and then the bully leaves you alone. Like, is that some sort of, like, you prove yourself... Like, I just don't understand the mentality behind... physically hurting someone to prove some sort of message?
I think it's twofold. One, first of all, there are some guys who are just a little tighter than others, a little snugger than others. You know what I'm saying? And
none of us really know how hard we hit because we've never been hit by ourselves.
Right. I am regarded as a light guy. I don't hit hard.
Well, I know you're a light guy because I've wrestled you.
I slam hard. You know, when I slam a guy, I'm slamming him. I don't think that means a difference, but like I think that there are certain guys who are just snug, who you're just going to have to live with that. You know what I'm saying?
And
that's the biz. But then there are other guys who I think, because it's a two-way street, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I call fourth wall. If I call a spot with you and you blow it, not only are you making you look bad, but you're making me look bad.
But to who?
To these fans. Now, some people take that. Now, this is just me speaking objectively. This is not my actual feelings. There are some people who have an ego about this, who feel like, you messed up my shit, brr, you know, how could you?
Well, me, this is why I don't understand it, all right? Because, like, if you really break it down to the smallest level, right, you fucked up.
Right.
You fucked up in front of fans.
Right.
That are trying to believe that this is real.
Right.
But they know it's fake.
Right.
So if you're watching Saturday Night Live, and Jimmy Fallon breaks out laughing,
I'd be like, come on,
Is Norm MacDonald going to slap him across the face and say, listen, breaking down the fourth wall?
You see, that's a weird moment, because in a moment like that on SNL, when you see the characters break, it's funny, right? You know? But like in wrestling, it's complicated, because I don't think, that's the thing, I don't think fans view it and try to pretend that it's real. I think they think it looks cool. They think it looks pretty. They like the I hate to use this word, it drives me nuts when talking about wrestling. They like the choreography. I'm not that type of guy usually. I mean, there are some guys I can do that style of match where most of the match is choreographed the whole way. You know what I'm saying? I can do that. I prefer not to. I like to leave room for things while I'm wrestling. And I keep hitting the table. That's why you hear random nuts, because I talk with my hands. But and then I get sidetracked because I say something else and I forget what we're talking about. I'm a terrible guest.
No, well, we're talking. You're an awesome guest. I'm actually glad that this is going so well, because I feel like we've talked about a lot of things. I like it, because listen, if I was listening to this as a person, I kind of like this talk. It's like you want to know that there's also people out there that have the same kind of like doubts and thoughts and stuff like that. And honestly, that's what I wanted to get out of this podcast. And I honestly don't think there's a better time. I mean, we're 56 minutes in right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we are.
Time flies when you're talking to buddies.
I know, right? Like, but that's what I mean. So I think we've gotten to that point where I like where we're at, and I want you on again, and I want to do this again. But for this moment right now, I feel like we've done enough. Absolutely. I feel like we've talked a lot, and I like what we've talked about. We talked about all sorts of things, life, wrestling, and we added some wrestling at the end, which is good.
Didn't even talk about wrestling.
Right. Well, but that's my whole point, is that the whole idea behind this podcast is to talk to wrestlers, but just not about wrestling.
I'm excited for when you get somebody on here who you're not as naturally charismatic with, because me and you, we've been buds for a long time. You know, I think this will be an interesting thing when you get like somebody on here who maybe you're not super tight with.
Well, honestly, my goal is to get people like that on, and I mean, the only problem is getting them on. Right. So, I mean, like, if I have to travel to some shows and find some closets where we can get some like low volume space, dude, I'm down for it. Like, that's what I want to do. I mean, my goal is to definitely have Steve Mack on.
He'll do that.
Right, and he's a known guy.
You're
a lot
have
of
to pay him though.
No, I'm not.
You're gonna have
him.
To pay that
God,
dude
no.
a lot of money.
And hopefully Jay is a good enough friend
you're
of mine.
Have to pay Jay too. Jay's gonna be like
right. Well, Jay Lethal is a guy that I would think would be on this.
I would love to.
And I don't I don't know if Jay would be open to being that
open.
I
mean, I think it's tougher for Jay. In a sense, because like, look at me, like I know we're trying to end this here, but like, I'm the smallest of small times, you know. I mean, I'd like to think I've come a long way in this business as a wrestler, and I know I have as a worker, but in terms of a
a star. If I go anywhere else, I'm fucking, I'm the other 5'9", 185 pound guy with short hair in
right. Little and shorts. And like I said at the beginning is like, and I forgot the quote, but let me pull it up because I want to make sure I get it the right way before you talk. How you see the world determines what you see, right? Us as wrestlers, how we see wrestling determines how
we see the world.
No. Like, so how we see wrestling determines the wrestling world that we see. You know what I mean? So, like, we always talk about how much it matters what this looks like and what that looks like. And honestly, like, 2 weeks from now, is anyone going to care whether or not, like, this guy blew a spot?
Sometimes the people's favorite parts in matches are blown spots. You know, I've had friends who are non-business oriented, non-understanding of the business, like a mark as opposed to a smark. And they like botches. They don't mind because they don't necessarily know that it's a botch sometimes, whereas I'm in my head like, hey, you guys fucked up. But back to the Jay thing, I think it's different for Jay because Jay is on a plateau where he has... Sorry, Jay. He has a gimmick that he has to keep up. He can't be as personal as he would like to be because I feel like he would want to portray the gimmick that
No, I don't agree with that. He's been on Colt Cabana's podcast before, and he was the guy we know.
Right, Jay.
Right. So, okay. I mean, I think he's open to doing that. I just don't know if he'd be open to doing this. You know what I mean? Like, he talked about wrestling and all about stuff like that. But what I'm really looking for is to get deeper into it. And which is why I decided to call this Revelations, because I kind of feel like you're revealing who you are.
Right.
Not as Sean Damage McNellis, the wrestler, but just who you are as a person. Right. You know what I mean? People don't know who I am, and... You know, like, I'm a nobody in wrestling, and I've done enough to give myself a...
You're a nobody in wrestling. Think about this. You're a nobody in wrestling, right?
Right.
And if you're a nobody, then what the hell am I, man?
Well, but see, but that's what I mean.
I'm nothing.
The world that you see. So, like...
I'm the amoeba on your flea on the rat of wrestling.
But who's to say anything about anyone? Like,
right.
A name. Like, I don't care. I go out there and I have fun, man. I don't care that, thousands and thousands of people don't know who I am. Like, and this is not a lifelong thing, but this is a now thing. I'm happy where I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
I honestly go out there
to wrestle to just have fun.
Right.
And it wasn't always like that, but I was never the, let me try to make it to WWE guy. Cause I've never tried to do that.
Right.
And honestly, I've never really tried to get anywhere. Anywhere I've ever gotten has just because it's been happenstance. Like, hey, do you want to wrestle on my show? And I'm like, oh, yeah, why not?
Well, that sounds like fun.
You know what I mean? I mean, JAP was a huge thing for me, but it wasn't like I sought them out to be like, hey, I'm really trying to get onto Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Like, it was more of a natural, I knew Eric
friends,
Corvus,
right.
And he was kind of like, hey, this is my friend who wants to get on the show. And they were like, all right, cool, you're on.
Corvus, he's the guy for that stuff.
He's just the guy.
If you need something,
there are moments that I feel bad that he's that guy that he kind of like, you know, had a girlfriend, trained her, and she was very famous and she was on TV. She went to Japan. She was on TNA. You know what I mean? Like,
sorry, Roach.
Right. Well, but that's what I mean. Like, he's the guy that trains people or gives people chances, and then they just kind of
it's hard, he
helped train Jay Lethal.
Right.
He was a student who had progressed, and Jay came in and he helped train Jay Lethal with Homicide and all them guys.
I think it's safe to say that Roach, I keep calling him that because he's my friend, Eric, I think it's safe to say that if there's anybody who trained me, it would probably be Eric Corvus.
That's cool.
I mean, and that pains me to say, Roach, but it's true.
And why does it pain you? I mean, listen, I think...
Because he's Roach, because you know he's going to be like, hey, man, hey, you said I trained you, bro.
Right, well, listen, he's trained a lot of people, and
has,
he's done a lot of good things.
At it.
But he's that also goes in that give and take of, do you take someone at the good things that they do, or do you take them at the bad things that they
Roach
do, or you just take them or just take them for who they are?
My first set of gear, him and Big Dan.
And listen, he does a lot of really good things for a lot of people, and sometimes he takes some shit. And I don't know if it's justified, but it's fun to give him shit. I'll admit that.
Right. He's so serious. I love. He won't take no for an answer. You know, like, he's the type of dude where he's like, "Come on, dude, you should do this. Stop being like." And you're like, "Oh, dude, I don't really want to." You know, like when it comes to training, like he will give you He will give you the business about if you're not going. You know, he'll be like, come on, why aren't you going? Oh, man, I got this going on. Cancel it. Rearrange it. Figure it out. And I like that about him. I mean, I think people need guys like that, you know, because when
push comes to shove,
or shove comes to push, you know, you need somebody pushing you in the right direction. And right. I mean, the one thing I did want to say, though, you had mentioned it earlier, one of the main reasons why I don't go to seek other bookings is because I didn't think I was ready until about last year. I didn't think I was. I still struggle with footwork, you know. I still struggle with the nuts and bolts of wrestling because I've never really had an opportunity to learn that. And, you know, some people might dislike me for that, but I digress. You know, I know enough. I know a fair share of stuff, but I know my footwork's wrong. I know I could work on that. I know there's stuff that I could fix, but I have a kid now. You know. I mean, and wrestling was always, and I know people will probably dislike me for this too, but wrestling always was kind of a hobby for me. Oh, and I know people don't like it when some people say that, but for me it was about hanging out with my friends, having a good time, and we just so happened to wrestle together, you know? And it evolved from there.
I'm down with that.
And it totally evolved from there. I mean, we've come a very long way, all of us. Even the guys who were really well trained all those years ago, back in 2002, 2003, when there were guys who were kind of the equivalent to the young guys in the UWA Elite that right now, the Drake Chamberses of the world, the TJ Blades of the world, you know, those guys are in the same position I was 10 years ago and you were 15 years ago, you know, they have to go after it, and they have to do all the things that I wasn't willing to do and that you were willing to do and a guy like Eric Corvus was willing to do, which is a lot. It's not easy. This business is not easy, and I credit anybody who's trying to pursue it.
Well, who's
trying to do the best they can in it. Trying to live off of it.
Which is why I've always been that guy, which is I take what I can get, and right. I do what I do. Like, I've never gone out of my way and busted my ass to try to get on stuff or try to do things to be more popular.
Right.
Because honestly, I don't know how to get more popular. Like, I have 200 Twitter followers, and I don't know how to get more.
I had a dude in Pennsylvania offer to pay me $60 to come wrestle in Pennsylvania, and I couldn't take it.
Why?
I couldn't, because it wasn't enough money.
Right.
And I mean, and I said to the guy, I was like, look, I know I have no business at all asking you for more money, but I'll be honest with you, dude, I can't do it for any less than 100, because $60, that's enough for me to gas up my car coming home, and to get another pack of smokes, and to get food, and by the time I'm home, I'm out of money. How can I rationalize that to the mother of my child?
Right.
You know? I mean, and I know I have no business asking for $100. I know that. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm barely existent in this world, wrestling-wise. But I had to ask for it, you know? Because I told the dude, I was like, oh, I'll do it for 25. And then he was like, I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm like, I can't really do it.
100!
I can't do it for 25 anymore, man. And he's like, would you do it for 60? And I was like, I cannot believe somebody's offering me $60 to wrestle. Who am I?
I would hate to tell you what I've been paid to wrestle.
You know, I tell you what, $25 is all right for me for now. But I mean, if you want to pay me more, you can pay me more. Get at me. Sean Damage Ragnell is on Facebook. That's
Do you have a Twitter?
I don't tweet. I have 3 different Twitter handles. One of them has like 55 followers, but I never tweet.
I think I'm one of them.
I've forgotten every single password, even though I'm sure it's the same thing I use, which is cheese.
All right, so listen, it's been, we're about an hour and 7 minutes in, right? And I want to be able to get across. Do you know, do you want to plug anything? Like, is there any, obviously, UWAElite.com, and your Sean Damage McNellis Facebook page.
I'm Sean Damage McNellis Facebook. UWAElite.com. I'd also like to plug May 23rd, when Worlds Collide. See, the co-captainage that exists right here is so strong. After this, we're going to get together and rally and figure out what our best strategy is for the
Now, May see, 23rd. I don't know when this is going to air.
Yeah.
So May 23rd might be a month away.
Well, go back in the past and watch it. It'll be on YouTube.
It will be on YouTube.
On UWAElite.com.
If you go on UWAElite.com, you can watch it.
Or the Facebook page, UWAElite Facebook. You could also check out a couple of random ones. Tech, Dr. John Bowes, The Short Thing, TJ Blade, Terrence Cameron Orion. Do you know who Terrence Cameron Orion is?
I do, TKO.
I love
it. All right, so listen, if anybody wants to check me out on Twitter, it's at Arcadia NJ. It's ARCHADIANJ on Twitter. Hit me up, give me some followers, let me know if you listen to this, if you like it. Let's give them a password to see if they listen to the whole thing. I want them to tweet me something. Is there anything that you said tonight that tweet? Listen to me. This is what I want. I want you to tweet at ArcadiaNJ, Kennedy Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want. I want you to tweet me that.
And you could, if 30 people say I should get a Twitter, I'll get a Twitter. I won't keep up.
Well, you already have 55 followers.
I already have 55 followers, though, so I digress.
Spread across four different Twitter accounts.
I think one is Sean Damage, one is like SDM Rules, and like the other is, I don't know, Green and Black Attack. I think those are the three Twitters that I have. But you could tweet me. I just won't respond, probably.
Well, no, definitely.
Definitely not going to respond. I don't even have Twitter on my smartphone here.
Your smartphone?
I deleted it. I was like, get it out. I don't like the Twitters. But I realize it's an important tool. I probably should have it.
All right, so with that, this is Arcadia. And my guest today has been Sean Damage McNellis.
Green and Black Attack!
Thanks for checking it out. If you did not, then you wouldn't be listening to this right now.
So we're not even talking to you.
So I'll see you next time. This has been Arcadia Revelations.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.